honor, honor, praise, and glory. In celebration, we join the crowds of old, waving branches, giving honor to the Messiah. We know the pain of what lies ahead. Today anticipates the rest of the story, a story of betrayal and death, a story of hope and resurrection. May we follow the Lord, and may we pray. We praise you, O God, for your redemption of the world through Jesus Christ. Today he entered the holy city of Jerusalem in triumph, and he was proclaimed Messiah and King by those who spread garments and branches along his way. Let these branches be signs of his victory, and please grant that we who carry them may follow him in the way of the cross, that dying and rising with him, we may enter your kingdom through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Easter.
Thank you, handbells, June, Cynthia, all of you. That's a great way to start worship. Say welcome, all of you, on this Palm Sunday in the beginning of Holy Week. And I want you to know the list and times of our services are there in your bulletin, so make sure that you carry that home with you. But we will, through our Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter sunrise, and Easter service, seek to tell you the story of our Savior's passion. I hope that you will see to it that you could be here for any or all of those celebrations. We will have a sunrise service followed by a pancake breakfast. Even if it's bad weather, we'll just bring the sunrise service inside, and we'll see the sunrise through the windows if that be the case. And then, of course, we'll have our regular worship and an Easter egg hunt for anybody that wants to go find some eggs. So we'll do that after worship. But I hope that you can make it for any or all of those wonderful activities. Last, I just wanted to point out the fact that in your bulletin is a brochure, and it's on the One Great Hour of Sharing. And there are envelopes that are there in the pew if you want to give to the One Great Hour of Sharing. They'll be out there again next week as well, so that if you want to pray about that before you decide to give, that's fine. But be aware of that. It's one of the dedicated offerings we do here at the church. But thank you for coming so that we could begin this most sacred of weeks together, praising God and thanking Him for the love that He's shown, demonstrated in the life of His Son, Jesus Christ.
Jesus has become well known and very popular among the people. Even though He will have to give up His life for our sins, Jesus willingly and publicly enters Jerusalem, knowing what awaits Him. The crowds now cheer and praise Him, but Jesus knows that will soon change. Let us hear of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Hear God's word. After He had said this, He went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When He had come near Bethphage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, He sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there's a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as He had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As He rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As He was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" Although the crowds in Luke's gospel began rightly by praising Jesus and exalting His name, they are quickly led astray by the leaders of their day and misperceptions of those who Savior should be. It reminds us that we can all fall short of God's glory and need the forgiveness Jesus is so willing to provide, for we too can be led astray. With this in mind, let us acknowledge our need for God's grace and rejoice in the renewal Christ so freely offers to those who turn to Me. turn to him. Join me in our prayer of confession. O Lord, who on this day entered the rebellious city that later rejected you, we confess that our wills are as rebellious as Jerusalem's. Our faith is often more show than substance. Our hearts are in need of cleansing. Have mercy on us, Son of David, Savior of our lives. Help us to lay at your feet all that we have and all that we are, trusting you to forgive what is sinful, to heal what is broken, and to welcome our praises and to receive you. Amen.
Children of God, hear the good news. The death Jesus died, he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. Thanks be to the forgiveness and new life that is ours in Jesus Christ. And let's give thanks for this forgiveness. Let's give thanks for this eternal life that we have with God, and let's express that gratitude as we stand and sing the Gloria Patri. Be seated. Remember and celebrate Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. I hope you'll realize that that entry into Jerusalem was our Lord making an offering, the offering of his life, the giving of his all. It was a complete and total devotion expressed by offering himself as our sacrifice. In gratitude for what he has done, let us be devoted and joyful in the offering of ourselves to God's purpose. Let us make available to God, like Christ, our example, our time, our talent, and our resources, so that Christ's ministry in the world can continue in and through his church today.
crowds offered you their coats to walk on. They waved palm branches, honoring your presence. Today we honor you, Lord, with our faithful tithes and offerings. We lay these gifts before you, humble tokens of our love, a public display of affection for our King of Kings. And we praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Amen.
You may be seated unless you're one of our young people. If you're one of our young people, why don't you come join me up here? Do we have any takers? Oh, here comes Michael. Good. Thanks, Michael. All right. We got little Lillian. Good deal. Good deal. Come on, Lexi. We'll take you. Yeah. Hey, why don't y'all come over by this box? Tell everybody what's in there.
Rocks.
Yeah. Hey, Yeah, you made one of these the other week, but we got a box of rocks. Do me a favor. Would you and Lexi grab these rocks and just maybe right here, just pile them up as high as you can? Yeah, you and Lexi do that together. Just pile those rocks up. It doesn't have to be just one on top of the other. You can make like a pile of them if you want. But just stack them there in a pile. There's a couple of them, isn't there? Oh, boom. That's okay. That's all right. Stack some more on there. Yeah. Now, you know why I brought the rocks? Oh, there's still some more here. Put all of them out there. You know why I brought those this morning? I want to have a rock concert. Do you think they can sing for us? No. Huh. Well, you know, Jesus said something pretty interesting. He was going into Jerusalem. Whoa. And he knew that some people wanted to get rid of him. And he didn't hide. He didn't try to sneak into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. He rode in front of the crowds. Everybody could see him. And his disciples, remembering all the miracles he had done, started praising Jesus because they knew that he had healed the sick. They'd seen him feed the thousands, and they had seen him even raise somebody from the dead. And so when Jesus was riding on a donkey into Jerusalem, the disciples were saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And everybody in the crowd started shouting the same thing. They were praising Jesus as if he were sent by God. And he was. But not everybody believed that, Michael. The Pharisees, who had a Bible and were experts, didn't understand what God was up to. And when they heard everybody giving Jesus all this godly praise, they said, "Hey, Jesus, get your disciples to be quiet." And you know what Jesus said?
"Y'all are rude."
He could have said that. He could have said, "Get out of my face." But he said, "Even if they're quiet, these stones will cry out." You know what he meant by that? I mean, can stones yell?
No,
they don't yell. He was trying to let the Pharisees know that creation knew what the Creator was up to. That creation knew that God was going to do an act of love like the world had never seen before. And Jesus then, if you read on in the story, he got really sad because so many people didn't understand what he was about to do, of how he was going to show the whole world God's great love. And so to clue everybody in, he said, hey, even the rocks get it. If you got my disciples don't praise me, the rocks will. So let me ask you this. If the rocks could sing, if we had a rock concert, what do you think they would sing? I wonder if one might do a solo and tell how a little shepherd boy named David used a small rock to slay a giant, showing that we can do anything when God is with us. I wonder if another one of those rocks would tell how the prophet Elijah used stones to build an altar to God, and the altar was used to sacrifice to God to prove that he was bigger, better, and mightier than any other god anybody might come up with. I wonder if maybe one of the pretty rocks might tell how Solomon had used stones to build a beautiful, beautiful temple for people to worship God. And still another one of those rocks might remind us that Jesus once told a story about a wise man who built his house on, guess what? A rock. And when the storms came, the house on the rock stood firm. These stones may have a lot of stories to tell. But you know what? We won't let them. Just as the followers of Jesus line the streets to praise their king, you and I, not the rocks, are going to praise our king. We know that our Lord is Jesus. We know that the king, the ruler of our life, is Jesus. We know that our Savior is Jesus. So we're not going to wait for God's creation to sing out to the Creator. We're going to celebrate it today. Because this week, we're reminded that Jesus came and he showed us how much God loves us by opening his arms to welcome us even while we were putting him on a cross. This week, I hope you can be thankful for God's love for you. And I challenge you to tell somebody about that great love. Will y'all think of somebody you can tell this week about God's great love for us all? Do you think you can think of somebody to tell? Can y'all do that? Good. Let's pray. God, we thank you that the story of Jesus Christ is still being told to this day. And that we can hear the good news and believe by faith of the love and the new life we have with you. Help us to experience you in such a way that we can't help but praise your name. Help us to know you in such a way that we can't help but tell others. Show your love to us and to these children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, thank you for coming up and having a rock concert with me. I really do appreciate that. And speaking of concerts, you are about to hear our beginning bells. They're playing the tone chimes, and our beginners are Michael Davis, who's already been up here, Haley Drehaus, and Emily Walker. And they're going to be playing a song that's titled Gentle Shepherd. So let's give it up for our beginning bells. next hymn as they return to the choir loft. It's going to be Hosanna, Loud Hosanna. And let's sing it loud. Hymn 89. Let's stand and sing that together.
Reading from the Psalms are the words of someone in grave distress. They could easily apply to Jesus, who was falsely accused, unfairly tried, beaten, and left to die on a cross. But they are words we know from those times. Life has been excruciating. It ends with trust in God's ability to save, which is where we should place our trust as well. If you wish to follow along, I will read Psalm 31, 9 through 16, found on page 506 of your pew Bible. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye wastes away from grief, my soul and body also. For my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery and my bones waste away. I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have passed out of mind like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Oh.
got to clap for that. Thank you, choir. That was joyful. I'm going to continue reading from Luke's gospel, and I'm going to read from chapter 22, and I'm going to go through, what verse was it? Verse 6, if you want to follow along. Now the festival of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was near. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to put Jesus to death, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was one of the 12. He went away and he conferred with the chief priests and officers of the temple police about how he might betray him to them. They were greatly pleased, and they agreed to give him money. So he consented and began to look for an opportunity to betray him to them when no crowd was present. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Before I preach, let's pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the mighty, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, that by the power of your Holy Spirit we may receive grace to show Christ's love in lives that are given to your service. Amen. There was a book that was written years ago by an American historian, and the title of the book is When the Cheering Stopped. It wasn't about Jesus, actually, it was about the President Woodrow Wilson and the events that led up to and the events that were following World War I. You see, when World War I was over, Wilson was an international hero. There was a great spirit of optimism both here and abroad, and people actually thought that the last war had been fought and that the world had been made safe for democracy. On his last visit to Paris after the war, Wilson was greeted with great applause. He was treated like a rock star. The same was true in England and Italy. I mean, Woodrow Wilson was a hero. In a Vienna Red Cross hospital, a nurse had to tell the children there'd be no Christmas presents because of the war and the hard times that had plagued everyone. But the children, however, didn't listen to the nurse. They didn't believe her. They said President Woodrow Wilson was coming, and they knew everything would be all right. Interestingly enough, this cheering lasted for only about a year. It gradually began to stop. Political leaders in Europe became more interested in their own agendas than they were lasting peace. And Wilson ran into opposition in the United States Senate, and his League for Nations was not ratified. He later experienced a stroke. And at the next presidential election, he was defeated. Wilson had tried to translate noble ideas into action. At first, as I said, he was embraced by all. But later and quickly, he suffered defeat, and the cheering of the world had stopped. Jesus enters Jerusalem, and the cheers are numerous and loud. He's treated as not just some hero, but as a messianic personality sent on a mission from God. The Hosanna in the highest, they're quoting Psalm 118. The disciples are acting as cheerleaders. They have the fans going wild as the parade continues on. People are cheering everywhere. But the Pharisees, however, they think it's madness. They think it's ridiculous to attribute messianic praises and cheers of king-like praise to Jesus. And they even tell Jesus, tell your disciples to get everyone to be quiet. They want the cheering to stop immediately because they don't realize the opportunity that is before them. And as I told the children, Jesus answers the Pharisees with the objection, I tell you, if they were silent, the stones would shout out. Now we know stones don't cheer. But Jesus makes it known that creation knows more about who he is and what God is doing than the Pharisees and the crowd. But wanting the cheering to stop, the Pharisees appear in the story to be dumber than rocks. And if you read on, we could have read on further in that passage, you'll see that Jesus, as he's coming over the top of the Mount of Olives, he can see all of Jerusalem. And despite all the cheering that's going on, it says that he weeps. And actually, if you read the Greek word, he wails. I mean, it's not just tears just come. I mean, he gets into some real all-out crying. He wails over Jerusalem in the verses that follow what Kitty read this morning because he knows his fans are fickle. And so very many of them are going to miss. They're going to miss out on the most incredible God-given opportunity despite their fanaticism. The people, they're cheering him now, but they're going to curse him later. The people, sadly, really don't have a clue as to who Jesus is and what he's about to do. Sadly, creation is more aware of the Creator's activity than they are. We came in this morning with palm branches to mark the beginning of worship and the start of Holy Week. The Jesus parade still passes by this very day. And I'm glad you're here to witness that. Some are watching it. Some, like you, are even joining in. Some, sadly, don't think it's appropriate. Cheers for Jesus today, however, are very appropriate. Jesus comes not as a conquering Lord, but as a redeeming Savior. He comes not in the power and might of the world, but in the overwhelming power of love and mercy. Jesus comes to give himself as a ransom for many, so that through the blood of his cross, we might be saved. Jesus rides by to demonstrate the incredible magnitude of God's love and let the world see he is most worthy to be deemed our Savior, who comes in the name of the Lord. When Jesus noted it was time to cheer, it reminds us cheers are still in order today. For as we all know, the needs of our present world are so incredibly great that someone must cheer for Jesus so that multitudes can know who to look to for God's amazing and saving grace. Someone must give voice to the recognition of his greatness and his power to mend broken lives as well as a broken world. Someone must give voice of his power to resurrect the dead, to set persons on the right path again, to enable people to live with dignity, purpose, and wholeness, and to move our world in the direction of peace and brotherhood. The world simply needs to hear what Christ can do. The world needs to know of the victory he can bring, and so someone must cheer. Obviously, stones are most unlikely to do that for us. If it's to be done, it's to be done by those who have recognized who Jesus is and understand what he can do. And the miracle today won't be that Jesus will make the stones cry out. It'll be that some 2,000 plus years later, there are those who see the parade passing by and join in with his disciples to cheer and keep cheering because of his redeeming power still at work in many lives this very day. I was thinking about sports, pretty big in America. When it comes to sports, we all know what to do. We can put on our jerseys and grab our pom-poms. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, are we as fanatic about cheering him for what he can do for an individual and for an entire world? How many of you recall the incredible football game between Vince Young and the Texas Longhorns who defeated USC? Y'all remember that? Boy, it was talked about long afterward. It was an exciting and incredible game. Or what about the time just a few years ago when Auburn beat Alabama in the very final seconds of a botched field goal attempt? People were talking about that for days. I remember several came into worship and said, at least we don't have to see Alabama win the championship again. Who of us found themselves talking on a Monday about how the Baylor women's basketball team won the championship in the final seconds of a Sunday evening game? How many of us, like the people in the TV commercial, and I love this, would actually remove a portion of our picket fence and take it to the game so that we could hold it up for our team and yell, defense, to the chagrin of our spouse? How many of us would be like the crazies we see going shirtless in the dead of winter, while they're cheering wildly and madly for their team? Can we have the die-hard fan devotion for Christ like we do our teams and our alma maters? Even if our blood is maroon, do our hearts beat for Jesus Christ? See, Jesus was so very devoted, so completely and fully devoted to the plan of God to save the world, that he rode into Jerusalem in broad daylight in front of everyone, knowing full well that the cheering crowd would even turn against him. And today he's listening for sounds of commitment, not for his sake, but for the sake of the world which he came to save. Even though he is so totally devoted to loving and saving us, his ministry will remain dependent on totally devoted fans. In today's world, people are cheering for much. Just watch American Idol tonight and you'll see. Some of the cheering is important and some of it is rather meaningless. But far, far too few are recognizing that Jesus Christ is the one that deserves not just our cheers, but our devotion. He is such a devoted fan of the world that he willingly rode into Jerusalem and went to his cross to save every single person in it. And hopefully, knowing what he has done in your life, you will be one of the devoted ones who has an incredible reason to cheer. For the victory that he establishes on Easter will give anyone who encounters him risen from the grave good cause to laugh, to cheer, and to tell others. For he will prove he is our Lord and the good news, our Savior. Amen. What I'd like us to do is, when we think about Christ's devotion to us, is to respond to that in a like devotion of faith. And what I did this morning is I put an excerpt that's from our Book of Confessions. It's from the Confession of 1967 that talks a lot about Christ and His Passion. So let us respond to God in faith. Let's declare it now as we stand and affirm our faith using the confession that is there in your bulletin. In Jesus of Nazareth, true humanity was realized once for all. Jesus, a Palestinian Jew, lived among His own people and shared their needs, temptations, joys, and sorrows. He expressed the love of God in word and deed and became a brother to all kinds of sinful people. But His complete obedience led Him into conflict with His people. His life and teaching judged their goodness, religious aspirations, and national hopes. Many rejected Him and demanded His death. In giving Himself freely for them, He took upon Himself the judgment under which all people stand convicted. God raised Him from the dead, vindicating Him as Messiah and Lord. The victim of sin became victor and won the victory over sin and death for all people. You may be seated. Let's go to God with all that's going on in our lives, and especially with open hearts. Let us pray. Lead us, O God, we pray, in the way of Christ. Give us courage to take up our cross and, in full reliance on Your grace, follow Him. Help us to love You above all else and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, demonstrating that love not only in deed but in word in the power of Your Spirit. For we know that as one of us, Jesus knew our joys and our sorrows and our struggles with temptation. He was like us in every way possible, except that He had no sin. In Him, we see what You created us to be. Though blameless, He suffered willingly for our sin. Though innocent, He accepted death for the guilty. On the cross, He offered Himself a perfect sacrifice for the life of the world. By His suffering and death, He freed us from sin and death. And risen from the grave, He leads us to the incredible joy of new life. So we thank You for making all things new in Him. And our prayer this morning is You would help us to remain open to any new thing You wish to bring or do in our daily lives. Days not looking for what it is You're going to do next. And for those in our midst that find the journey hard to go, I pray that You would give them Jesus, who is for us the way, the truth, and the life. And that, like He did, we could face these challenges head on, knowing in full confidence that You will fulfill all that You've promised our lives. That, like Him, we would be able to just trust You fully and completely and experience the victories that you bring to those who live by faith. So help us. Help those on our prayer list. Help those that are just crying out for you to not only be present, but be at work in their lives. And finally, O Lord, just raise up your people to proclaim the glories of your name and show the world your incredible love so that they too might by faith enter your kingdom. Receive us now as we come praying the way in which Jesus taught us by saying together, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our going out song is His Name is Life, and you don't need your hymnal. You'll find that it's in your bulletin. So if you'll take that insert in your bulletin, let's stand and let's sing His Name is Life. As you go into your day, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you. And may Jesus Christ be your peace now and forever. Amen.